He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the day after. It's the day after Fed Day. And the market is off to the races today, mostly on earnings. And we'll get to those in a bit. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We've got the NASDAQ really blasting off today behind a couple of earnings. Meta. So glad I met you. So it's really roaring today, and so is Lam Research and some others riding the coattails of those stocks. NASDAQ up 192 right now to 14,318 as it continues to break out. The Dow is up just 67. That's 20 basis points. It's at 35,587. A few Dow stocks have reported today, including McDonald's and one other one, MasterCard. We'll check in on those in a minute. S&P up 33 points, 4,600 on the S&P 500. So much for Marko Kalanovich's 3,800 target price on the S&P 500. The Russell 2000 up 45 basis points. Crude oil closing in on 80. 79.24. It's up 46 cents today. Gold is down $26. The 10-year is up 6 basis points to 3.91, and Bitcoin up 167 to 29,426. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and yesterday was Fed Day. And Barry, we have a wreck off of Charleston. It's about 40 foot of water. It's called the Fred Day. So I go out to the Fred Day on Fed Day to do a
Fred
little
Day
fishing.
On Fed Day, there you go.
Because you can't really buy or sell, you know, while everybody's fretting over the market, you know, you just have to sit tight and wait till you get a little more direction.
At least till 2 p.m., right? Until
yeah.
At least till 2:30 when the fireworks start with the,
yeah.
With the news conference.
And then yes. I kicked on looking at charts after 2:30 once, so we had a little more clarity.
How was the fish tacos?
The ocean was just flat yesterday, which,
doesn't
you know, that's a fisherman's dream.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often here on the Atlantic, right?
No, it was just a fisherman's dream. It was crystal clear. I was fishing in about 50 foot of water, 30 miles from my home here. I had a good time. And then I heard the announcement, and really the market had a muted response, I would say.
Probably the most muted response that it's had to one of his press conferences, and I don't know. I was looking at some of the volatility numbers before, the last handful, and I think it's one of the quietest periods. You picked a good time because it's like one of the quietest press conferences that he's had so far. So.
Yeah. Now for me, the stock of the day yesterday, I could hear them cheering all the way from North Charleston. Where the Boeing folks work. I know, I have
That's
a
right.
lot of friends that work for Boeing. Boeing had a phenomenal day yesterday. It is one of the stocks that we own in our growth portfolio. Pure growth. It does not pay a dividend. I think they suspended their dividend during that whole problem they had with their planes. Boeing
built
is up
some cash, though. They're
yeah,
building up some cash.
Just like that, Boeing is $236 a share. And it's breaking out to new all-time highs. So I'm taking one of my Boeing friends. I offered to take him and his family out on a little cruise of the harbor on Saturday. He'll be in a good mood, I hope. I'm in a good
mood. You're going to hit him up. You're going to hit him up for some ice or some fuel costs, one
yes.
or the other, right?
I mean, I just own the stock, and I'm in a good mood. And then, of course, Microsoft on the downside, but it was only down 3.5 points. So we're not going to fret too much.
Well, we had Google to offset it, so that was kind of the story yesterday. It was funny. Was looking at different indices, and essentially, I think in the Dow, it was everything was basically under 1% movement in one way or the other, and then of course Boeing and Microsoft were offsetting each other, and then in some of our other portfolios, we had Google and Microsoft offsetting each other.
Yes. So. Well, but actually, I mean, Google did more than offset because Google was up 7 or 8%.
Yeah.
And that's as big a position. Not quite. We don't own Google in our dividend portfolio because it doesn't pay a dividend. And Microsoft does, so we own it in both of our portfolios. But today, without question, at least so far, I haven't observed a lot of stocks today. Meta. So glad I met you. Up 8% right now.
So glad I'm that way. I'm going to write that one down.
$24 per share on 7x normal volume. I've been saying it all year, the comeback stocks of the year, GE and Meta. Meta was down and out. He was lost in the metaverse there last year. He found his way. He laid off a bunch of people. He took a month off, I think, or a couple months off.
He had to take off his VR headset, right?
Yes, he got out of the virtual reality and into the real world. And, the no other number to me stands out like 3 billion users. The planet's closing in on 8 billion, right? Maybe we're there now. I don't know. But 3 out of 8, that's almost
40%. 3 out of 8 are messing with a Facebook, some type of Meta app in some form or fashion, whether it's WhatsApp or Threads, right? Either one.
So if you're sending off a daughter or a son to college, here soon. In a month, 6 weeks, something like that, whatever college they're going to, tell them to dream something up, right, put it into action. His parents sent him off to Harvard, and he came up along with some other guys with I'm going to have to go back and watch that story again.
It's may have stolen idea, here or there, right? But made it better.
Who implements it and who puts it in? It's all about doing, not saying and dreaming and thinking. You've got to do it.
Hey, Winklevoss twins are happy, right? It did well for them.
So anyways, he dreamt something up that now 3 billion people on the planet have some sort of use for.
Do that or be a pilot. I covered a story yesterday on the Boeing news. Something mentioned was the fact of how many airline workers will need to be added by like 2042, and I think it was like 650,000 pilots. Get your flying school, get your hours in and get in the air, I guess.
Yeah, and remember Boeing put out a report not too long ago about how many planes have to be built to meet the worldwide demand over the next 20 years. So working for a place in the aerospace industry like Boeing or Northrop Grumman or one of those, unless the environmentalists shut them down.
I was about to say, you think those would be fueled by jet fuel? I would imagine it's pretty hard to get those things off the ground otherwise.
Batteries are heavy. Get you too far.
And batteries are heavy.
Very heavy. Well, the other big story, obviously, is we're now at the highest Fed rate in over 22 years because of a tremendous bout of inflation that we had. When we started this whole thing, about a year ago of the Fed rate hikes, nobody really knew whether or not those rate hikes would get inflation under control because it didn't do it in 87, 88, 89. Inflation kept roaring until they got rates clear up to 16%. And then finally, the economy went into a recession, a deep recession, and that finally got inflation under control. Nobody knew what would happen this time when the Fed embarked on their rate hiking, schedule of, 10 in a row. Then they skipped one, and then they did another one here, quarter of a point yesterday. The Fed funds rate are now at 5.2 5.25.
Yeah, 5.25 to 5.5, whatever that range is. I've been, just because I can't keep it right in my head in terms of the range, I just keep using that top number.
Yes.
So we're at, 5.25 to 5.5. So we'll call it 5.5 and in standing pat. We'll see where we go from there, right?
And, you know, the odds of a soft landing, which we've said several months now, that looks like the most likely outcome, which is a hard one to achieve, but now I'm hearing more and more folks out there saying that the odds of a soft landing have improved greatly.
Especially with that GDP number that we'll hit when we come back.
Yep. Okay, when we come back, what about the next? What will be the Fed's next move? What did Europe do? And then we'll dig into some of these earnings that have come in today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, he did leave another rate hike on the table, definitely, in his press conference yesterday. He said that another rate hike is possible at the September meeting. And then meanwhile, the ECB hiked by 20. They seem to be pretty much in concert with one another. The global banks are more linked together than ever before. They used to be a heck of a lot more autonomous of each other, and but not anymore. They seem to be kind of in sync with one another. Meta, okay, let's see. Their earnings came in, their quarter over quarter growth in sales was 11%, okay? 11% year over year, which ended a three-quarter streak of dropping sales, comparable sales. And their earnings were up 21% year-over-year. They made $298 versus $246 last year. And both of those numbers were well above consensus estimates. Barclays analyst Ross Sandler said Zuckerberg seems to have everything dialed in. Meta's overall execution is strong. Engagement is increasing across the board. Monetization is cranking up alongside an improving digital ad market. And new products like Threads, which is their answer to Twitter, and many more generational AI features, generative AI, are helping the second half narrative. And, of course, they also took in a lot of revenue. What was the other one? Not Threads.
Reels.
Yeah, Reels.
Which if I've ever been on Reels, I didn't know it.
But
apparently, yeah, you know, it's their, it's kind of their answer TikTok. Yeah, you can tell we're real hip here. Reels is kind of their answer to TikTok, and they continue to get a lot of traffic there and are actually beginning to monetize it. I mean, you remember kind of the early days of, you know, when Facebook moved over to the phone, right, as an app, and they took them a while, right? They were slow to figure out how to create revenue from that, and I think Reels was, you know, kind of in that space, but they're actually beginning to show a good bit of ad revenue there, and I think ad revenue is one of the bigger drivers. Of,
definitely.
Yeah,
it
was a big driver for Google. You know, YouTube. Kind of the Google story yesterday was, you know, a lot of that ad revenue. You know, a lot of growth was coming from YouTube. So both of those kind of platforms, Reels and you know, on Google's side, YouTube are booming from an ad perspective.
Well, 75% of the company's advertisers now use Reels ads, which has become a $10 billion a year business. just 1 year after Meta started monetizing it. And I've always said, when you've got 3 billion people, look, I grew up in the billboard business, and you're not going to find a billboard that 3 billion people pass by every single day. But, you know, there are some large ones, obviously, in the big freeways in Chicago, L.A. and whatnot. And those billboards bring in a lot of money because there's a lot of eyeballs looking at them. But $3 billion is just unbelievable, off the chart, of what he has created as far as an advertising platform. Now, the bottom line, all right? I do my own valuations, and as of yesterday, I've been saying, you know, that I like 75 to 80 at least minimum upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years. Now, this is as of yesterday. Meta had 90% upside potential. I know you'll probably find that hard to believe, but those are the numbers. And you know what? I'm only using a 16 multiple to get to that target price that I have on Meta. So, you know, obviously you're taking 8% out today. So now you're looking at about 92% or 82% upside potential. But my 5-year target price is in the 565 area and is currently at 319.
Yeah, and they've got a 25 forward multiple at the moment. So, yeah.
Well, when you compare that with some of these other, you know, right. Google and other names, I'm using a 16 forward PE ratio to arrive at my target price. So, you know, if you should have been listening to Bill Gunderson. We own Meta in the Premier Growth portfolio.
And you just added it back. We just added it. What, about three weeks ago?
Yes,
if
exactly.
That, maybe not even that long ago.
And I took out a stock that got hammered here recently. So that was a good move. That's why you have to be a little bit active. Fed staff are no longer predicting a U.S. recession. The Federal Reserve interest rates are 22-year high. It's not enough yet to declare victory on inflation. But their base case is no recession in the cards yet.
Yeah, one piece from his press conference, I will say that kind of was interesting in the Q&A was, you know, he mentioned the fact that they are, you know, he basically acknowledged that they are in restrictive territory, and I haven't really heard him say that. I heard him that we're, you know, for the longest time we're moving towards, right, restrictive territory, and so the fact that he really mentioned that they, you know, quote unquote, are in restrictive territory gives you that little light at the end of the tunnel that, you know, if we're not there, we've got to be close.
Explain what you mean by restrictive territory.
Yeah. So in other words, as they raise rates, right, it's going to, you know, restricts investment. We can restrict, you know, puts restrictions on the economy in terms of, you know, how much it can grow. It means we don't have a bunch of easy money out there chasing a bunch of the same assets. So
right.
Now that interest rates and short-term rates are so high, that is, you know, bringing certain types of investment down, particularly, you know, no one wants to go take out a mortgage, right? As much. So the fact that he acknowledged we're in restrictive, you know, gives you kind of a good idea that, you know, if they're not there, they're close.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to, you know, there's several, almost everybody is predicting rate cuts next year. Okay, next year. All right. Well, the Justice Department and the EPA investigating telecom companies over lead cables. It just continues to get worse and worse for AT&T and for Verizon. Now they've got these lead cables, some in the Lake Tahoe. And the feds are sniffing some big fines there. We'll see where that goes. Eli Lilly updates Phase 3 data for obesity drugs. I read that the World Health Organization is not putting them on the needed drug list. But I think their latest studies indicated 26% weight loss from this is Phase 3, so it's not approved yet. seems to me that would help with a lot of the other health problems that are associated with this issue. A lot of earnings to talk about when we come back, including McDonald's, which will put a little weight on you. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And markets pulled back a little bit. The Dow was up 200, or the NASDAQ was up 200. Now it's up 134. And the Dow is up 70 right now. S&P was up 32. Now it's up 26 at this point in the game. Okay, the next earnings report that we want to talk about, which helps create the need for weight loss drugs. McDonald's beats by 38 cents. So they reported $3.17 per share in earnings. And McDonald's has, that's 15% growth year over year in earnings. That's pretty good. That would indicate that maybe inflation not a problem there for McDonald's anymore like it was. Their sales grew by 4% year over year, and the stock is up 1.9%. So pretty good quarter for McDonald's. Now let's look at the bottom line of McDonald's and their upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years. I have McDonald's with upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years of 66%. You see, that doesn't meet my criteria of 75 to 80% or more upside over the next 3 to 5 years. McDonald's multiple is a little bit on the rich side right now. Its P.E. ratio is 26. I kind of like McDonald's in the low 20s. So that's how that valuation piece of the puzzle works. It's very, very critical, especially in a market that is pretty fairly valued right now. You know, with the S&P at 4,600, that's now reached most people's EPS or their price target for the year. For some people, it's got to go a lot lower to meet their price target. And others, you know, the consensus price target right now in the S&P is about 4,800 by the end of the year, 47 to 4,800 right in there, and we're at 4,600 now. So it becomes all the more important to seek out companies that have kind of been left behind and have that upwards potential of 75 or 80% or more. And that's where the Best Stocks Now app comes in, very handy and useful at a time like this. It's much more of a narrow market. This isn't, you can't just shoot into a barrel and hit a winner here. It's going to come down to these valuations. So anyways, very good quarter.
Well, that's what I was interested in terms of seeing your S&P outlook in the newsletter this week that you can get at GundersonCapital.com. But, yeah, sign up for the 2 weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing now that we've, had 40% report just this week. And you've seen, of course, you're going to crunch all the numbers, but it seems to be that we've seen a lot of top-line beats, at least in the larger companies that are always – at the top of our headlines.
Well, last week was a big, the first week, really, a full week of earnings. We only had 60 companies report. This week we've had 100, we'll have 160 by tomorrow. And I would just say after the first big week, I was given the earnings season a C-. It was kind of a sloppy start. But it seems to me like this has been a pretty good week here so far.
And so it will be interesting to see where the numbers come in at with companies like McDonald's and Meta and others, Google, et cetera, beating their estimates. And you know what? I mean, it at the end of the day, the mathematics are very important, the mathematics of it all. You're not going to see a big multiple expansion in the multiplier like we've seen in the past. When interest rates were so low, they're like you say, you're being in restrictive territory now. You're going to see a restrictive multiple on the market. So that's why the earnings side of the equation is the most important side of the equation right now. Okay, that, MasterCard.
Oh, yeah.
Member of the Dow, right? Okay, MasterCard is basically flat right now. MasterCard is down 0.5%. Let's just check in on the valuation of MasterCard, 68.4. And I would just say that that's kind of the average large cap growth stock now is kind of in the mid-60s with the average 3 to 5% upside potential. When you're looking, you know, more in the 80 or higher area, mid to high 70s or more, and most of these stocks. So what would it take for them to become buyable again? Well, unfortunately, it would take a sell-off in the stock. It would take a correction in the stock, in the market. Or I don't know how much MasterCard beat by. It couldn't have been very much because the stock is flat. If they raise their guidance, there's only two ways this stock becomes viable. They raise their guidance to give it that 75, 80% or more upside potential, or the stock corrects back to where it was 350 not that long ago. At 400, for me, it doesn't fit my strict valuation criteria. Chipotle, for the first time in a long time,
I saw this.
Missed their that I call that kind of the disaster of the day. We don't own Chipotle. It's down 8.5% today.
Opposite of McDonald's, basically.
Yes. So, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. One's a little more high-end. It definitely costs more to go to Chipotle. I don't know. These days, McDonald's is not cheap.
No. You use the if you do go there, use the app.
Yes.
My mom taught me that, taking care of the grandkids. She's like, if you ever go there, use this app. She'll save you 33% in one meal.
Really? That's at McDonald's?
Yeah.
Why does it save you 33%?
They have all these just random, you know, if you just go up and have all these random specials on there that, you know, essentially you're going to buy the same thing that you would have bought to begin with. You just go to the app and it just happens to be cheaper.
And so. That's at McDonald's?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to use the app next time. See what
the Chick-fil-A, I save. The Chick-fil-A one will, it may not save you any money, but it'll save you about 30% of the amount of time you would have spent. So that's the other benefit for the Chick-fil-A one. But Chipotle has always had the best one, in my opinion. But, yeah, stock certainly.
I'll have to try using the app at McDonald's next time I go. Chipotle came in with $12.65 in earnings. They beat by 37 cents. It was the revenue that missed, and it was their comparable restaurant sales, which they normally don't have a problem with.
No.
Was very unusual for that to happen to them. But listen, they're going to make $54 per share this year, $54 per share. The stock is $1,912. Now, okay, so you've got a stock pulling back today. Okay, let's see if that puts it into buy range, right? We'll take a look at Chipotle here and their 3 to 5 year target price. 37%, Barry. 37% is what I have for upside potential on Chipotle over the next three. It was way overpriced, which makes it very vulnerable, you see, to a miss like this and a big sell-off. But we'll see. We'll put in the new numbers here when the dust settles. My multiple might be a little bit low. Maybe I have to raise my multiple a little bit on Chipotle, but it didn't come anywhere close
But it's and it's a name we've owned in the past.
Yep.
It's one we we've liked and company we like. It's just currently not a great stock, right?
No, it's too overvalued. And Chipotle actually did pretty good during COVID because they
that online system. Yeah.
Yep. Where you would just order from your home, go by. They'd hand you a bag. A hand would stick out the window or whatever, or your bag would be sitting there.
Yeah, they got the little bookshelf up there nowadays. You can just go up there, pick your bag off the bookshelf, and I don't know if they got problems with people pulling other people's bags off there,
you
but
know what?
Mine's always been there.
That's always been my question. What's to prevent a guy from just walking into Jersey Mike's and walking off with a sub?
Yeah.
And know who's going to know, you know? I mean, you're long gone by the time the true owner walks in and says, hey, where's Bill's sub? I don't know. It was there a minute ago. Well, anyways, I don't know why I think of things like that, but I do. You know, if someone's got a bigger sack than me, I'm going to take
the honor system doesn't seem like it would work quite as well nowadays as it would maybe have 20 so years ago, right?
Yeah, no. Okay, well, when we come back, we'll take a look. There is quite a bit of stocks here underneath the surface. We still got to talk quickly about Lam Research, ServiceNow, and Valero, those three when we come back. And then what's moving the markets today underneath the surface. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's just look at a few other earnings reports that are important to us. Lam Research, big, man, that's a big winner there. That's a dividend payer, which we own. We own only like 17 or 18 stocks in our dividend fund portfolio, and that's one of them, Lam.
That's what you call a classic beat and raise.
Yep, Lam pays a dividend yield of 1%, but the stock is up 9% today and breaking out to a new 52-week high, LRCX, where they beat their earnings estimates and they raise their guidance. That's the best of all worlds.
Yeah, that's the trifecta: beat on earnings, beat on revenue, and raised guidance going forward. Right?
Yes. Now the other one that's kind of bouncing around here, ServiceNow. I want service, and I want it now. They raised their 2023 subscription revenue guidance. They beat. But the stock is down a little bit. It was up, and now it's down 1.6%. ServiceNow, N-O-W. One we don't own, but it's good to see it. Having a nice day. Royal Caribbean, meaning people are... That's a solid breakout there, man. That's beautiful. It's up 8.5%. These companies were down and out during the COVID. They were probably the most impacted stocks of anybody. Who's going to get on a cruise ship with COVID going around?
Well, they wouldn't even know. They wouldn't let you even if you wanted to, right?
Nope. They stayed in the port.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, anyways, a big comeback for Royal Caribbean, up 8.9% RCL. You could have picked up some bonds back at that time. They were floating bonds in the 8 to 9% area, I remember.
You were trying to figure out if they weren't going to pay you, and they might end up paying you in a floating ship. That was the problem.
I didn't have the courage to step up to the plate and buy Royal Caribbean bonds at
time. Yeah, one interesting piece, the quick thing on now is actually they also unveiled AI Lighthouse, which is essentially a partnership with NVIDIA and Accenture, design accounting firm, designed to fast-track the development and adoption of generative AI capabilities. So,
well, that must have got lost in the message somewhere, but hopefully it'll eventually be discovered there. Then Valero's the other one. Valero, their numbers were pretty soft, but the stock is up just a little bit. And I have to comment on that whole energy sector, which for the second half of the year now, which we're now almost a month into the second half of the year, the energy sector has really done well. Underneath the surface of the market, it's almost every single day. Though that's the sector, along with the financial sector, that has just been moving higher and higher and higher, and it's still a low PE sector, which also helps it. And you've got oil moving towards $80 per barrel, just a hair under 100 right now.
And oil demand back at pre-COVID levels. I was reading some, you know, governments basically doing a lot of green talking, but in reality, they're still purchasing more oil than ever. So
it's, everybody fishing out there. When I got out there, you know, and I was fishing a spot, I was the only person. And I kind of looked off in the distance, and I saw about 25 boats in one spot. You know, fishing is one of the areas where the majority's usually right, okay? I follow the majority. If I see a grouping of boats on the ocean, that generally is a good indication that there's fish there, or all those boats wouldn't be congregated. And every one of those boats, I noticed, I didn't see one sailboat amongst the guys fishing yesterday. I didn't see one. I didn't see one electric boat that made it out 20 even miles offshore,
even on a flat day. Right?
So, you know, and I saw as I was going out, there was a massive freighter coming in, container ship. It looked like a brand new container ship. It was really cool looking. It was kind of matte gray, and all the containers were matte gray.
Wow.
And in the front of it, there's kind of a sidebar that helps it cut through the water, protrudes a little bit in the very front of the boat. And two little dolphins were playing. They were jumping that thing. They were surfing it. They were jumping and one, and then they come back and do the other side. But that boat was not being run on batteries. That boat was not being run on wind. There's just certain things, unless they go nuclear. That's the only alternative I see. I can't imagine, you know, how many gallons that thing burns between China and back, and back to China and all this and that. Okay, now, in the Dow, Boeing again, following through, up another 2.5%. We've had a lot of winners this week. Boeing was the stock of the day yesterday. We own it. Meta, the stock of the day today. We own it. Also, Lam, we own it. Our only disappointment this week would be Microsoft. And there's still a hangover on Raytheon, which we own in our dividend portfolio. They're not all winners. You know, we get stung, too, with in Raytheon's case, it's a subcontractor, a provider that had some issues. All right, let's see. DuPont's up 1.9, Salesforce up 1.6, Apple's up 1. The only loser, Raytheon, down 1.7. Now, over at the S&P 500, the big winner is one that, man, I discovered years ago. I don't own it anymore because I feel like they're past their prime. But they upended the orthodontics industry, Align Technology, with their Invisalign, you know, instead of the old metal braces. And it's up 17.8% today.
Wow.
But not the stock it once was. It totally was a disruptor, totally disrupted. You talk to any orthodontist, and they'll tell you that it totally disrupted that industry. Textron is the second biggest. I know they're doing the Apache helicopters. Wow, that's a moonshot there. Straight up, just like an Apache helicopter.
Are they refurbishing them? Or are they?
I think they have to replace them.
Okay.
It's up 10.3. That's Textron, TXT, having a huge day. Lam is the third biggest winner in the S&P, up 9%. And Meta is the fourth biggest winner. So we're having an okay day. The big disappointments today are Chipotle. Also, Southwest Airlines, love getting no love, down 8.9%. Okay, well, it's been an eventful week. We predicted it would be eventful, and it's been eventful. Tomorrow, I'll be working on the newsletter, really focused. I mean, the crux of the newsletter, once again, this week, will be the earnings picture. and the earnings season and the target price of the S&P, and then finding those stocks that still make sense from a valuation point of view in a kind of an expensive market right now.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.